Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Paddock Project. We're so excited to be talking about the Mexico City Grand Prix. What an incredible race. Carlos won. We have a huge constructors' battle on our hands. It was a disastrous weekend for Red Bull. We have so much to discuss. We also give a bit of a preview for Brazil next weekend, the end of this triple header. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, let's start with our overall thoughts and takeaways. For me, the race was just highly entertaining, which is what you love to see. We had some wheel-to-wheel action up and down the grid, and even like the entire weekend leading up to the race was very entertaining. And I think I just love to see three teams battling out at the top, never really knowing who's going to end up on top, is such a treat that we haven't had in a few years. And so this was just absolute bliss. I feel like we're really lucky.
Everyone's become so spoiled this F1 season. It's wild the turn it's taken. I love seeing Carlos's fourth career win. I almost feel like he, to me, feels more like a 7-8-time winner almost. I was kind of surprised here that it's only his fourth career win. So huge deal for him. And now we have a McLaren versus Ferrari battle for constructors, which is going to be incredible and so thrilling. And just a masterclass from Carlos. It makes me really, really sad that he's leaving Ferrari. I'm so excited for what Lewis can do with that seat, but I think this is kind of the curse of F1. A lot of the times, right when a driver feels like they're hitting their stride or hitting a career peak, something like this can happen. And I just am excited that he can finish out the season on a high. Also, as a Max and Red Bull fan, what was going on? It's kind of hard to imagine how the weekend could have gone more poorly, besides maybe a double DNF. But even a double DNF would kind of be less difficult in some ways because it would be maybe potentially less avoidable. So lots to talk about here.
Yeah, indeed. All right, let's go into our MVPs and LVPs. I think for my MVP, I think we can probably all agree that Carlos is a huge MVP here. He did so well. Did quality so well. My other MVP, I'm pretty happy with the weekend for Mercedes too. I think they did the best that they could. We saw some good action between the two drivers. It was clean. Nothing terrible happened. And they definitely had a good points run. So I would say my MVP 2.0 would be the Mercedes.
True. The commentators were saying this, but definitely an MVP shout out to their teammate battle. I think probably part of why I was so respectful was because they're teammates, but given some of the less respectful battles we saw from everyone else, that was great to see. I have to say Carlos also for MVP, incredible, and just Ferrari overall, really firing on all cylinders right now. How about LVP?
It feels cruel to say Checo is my LVP for the weekend, but like it literally could not have gone any worse for him, and it was so disappointing. So I'll have to do that. And I'm sad about Yuki because I feel like he was doing so well in practice, in a lot of practice sessions. And so to see him crash out was also,
I don't know if Yuki deserves LVP though, because he was kind of a victim of the circumstances. So it's kind of the wide run to turn one is your LVP.
Okay. Thank you. Exactly.
I think I have to go with Max. I don't know when the last time I said that was, but wow, the 20 seconds. I can't remember the last time someone had a 20-second penalty. It might have been that time when Ocon accidentally kept committing violations while serving penalties and got like 30 seconds worth of penalties. But
yeah, and they kept stacking them.
It's kind of hard to remember, and it's just everyone knows that Max is such a great racer because he will always push it to the limit, and that's so much of what racing is. But ultimately, there are rules for a reason. It has to be fair. It's not fun competitive racing when people are just pushing each other off track every opportunity they get. And I think the commentators were making a great point that drivers are always going to push to see what they can get away with. And when he didn't get a penalty in Austin for forcing Lando off the track and making an overtake, he really did – when you brake so late that you know you're not going to make the corner and then force the other driver off the track, that type of behavior, if it's not getting penalized, then people are going to keep doing it. And it was happening kind of up and down the grid this weekend. People were just absolutely sending it when they had no chance of making the corner. And so I do think the penalties were justified, maybe even a slight overreaction from Austin of them realizing like, wow, we really do need to penalize both of these, leaving the track and getting an advantage and pushing him off track. But just disappointing because it's been great seeing a championship battle on our hands, and it would be so much more fun if we could just come away with it being such clean, competitive racing and not having a conversation again about Max's driving style.
And also, like, it is the winner of this race actually the true winner of this race, or was it just because Max got 20 seconds and that obviously like dropped him far back enough to have it not be like a good clean win? So kind of like the conversation we had after Miami for Lando. True. Let's get into a sobering topic about how our hot takes held up. We have to preface this by saying we had so many DMs this weekend being like, girls, your hot takes are not taking. They are abysmal. It's so sad.
I think this is our worst performance ever. I think I can say that confidently.
For sure.
So mine was Checo wins. I think we might actually have cursed everyone. This is unfathomable. And Tiggy was a Checo podium.
Okay, so for me, mine was a Piastri win, which was also terrible because I think Piastri he had a great race, kind of. So we'll talk about that. But yeah, nowhere near a win.
All of our hot takes were out in Q1. Our win takes were out in Q1. For practice, we started off a very eventful weekend with some eventful practice sessions. For FP1, George led this session, followed by Carlos and Yuki. The main story, though, was there were two red flags caused by debris and the collision between Ollie Bearman and Albon. This was a really unusual crash. It looked like Bearman was all the way off to the right, really trying to slow down and stay off the racing line, and Albon just kind of lost control of the car and hit him. Besides Ollie and the Ferrari, we had lots of other rookies in the cars, including Kimi Antonelli, Pato Ward, who we always love to see driving at McLaren, Felipe Drugovic for Aston Martin, and Robert Schwartzman for Kick Sauber.
I love seeing all those young new faces on track. It makes me very excited. For FP2, we had an extended 90-minute session to test some of the Pirelli prototype tires for 2025. In terms of what actually happened during the session, we had a scary heavy crash from George at turn 9 that brought out a red flag. And then we also had some engine issues that Max was experiencing, which was kind of foreshadowing for the whole weekend. He was not very happy with how his car was performing. So to end the session, we had Sainz on top, followed by Oscar and Yuki again.
For FP3, thankfully, it was a bit calmer than FP2. We had Oscar on top, followed by Lando and Carlos.
Okay, jumping into quali, the big shocker or surprise of this session was the cuts of both Piastri and Checo. For Oscar, it was really tough because his teammate in the McLaren was setting the fastest lap in Q1, and then Oscar was cut. So it was a very big discrepancy and probably very hard for him to stomach. And then for Checo, it was just a shocking disappointment at his home race. He had so much support this weekend, and I cannot even imagine the disappointment for all of the fans there. So out we had Colapinto, Piastri, Perez, Checo, Ocon, and Joe.
For Q2, this session ended early with less than 2 minutes to go after a scary crash from Yuki. Thankfully, he's okay. Such a tough weekend with really big impacts on both Saturday and Sunday. Lando also topped the times in Q2. So for cuts, we had Yuki, Lawson, Alonso, Stroll, and Bottas.
And then lastly for Q3, such an exciting session with Carlos's pole. And then we also had both Haases in the top 10, which I think is a sneaky MVP that we should pull back up because it was so awesome to see them there. And they had a great race, which we'll talk about. So for Q3, it was Carlos on top. And then we had Max in P2, followed by Lando, Charles, and George.
Jumping into some overall highlights first, since so much happened in this race. At the start, for some background, everyone was mostly expecting a one-stop race with everyone starting on mediums except for a few people towards the back on hards. The start was wild, to say the least. As we were talking about with Yuki earlier, it's a very long run into turn one, and so the cars can go 3 to 4 wide, and it's a really long run there. So Max launched off the line and got the inside line. Lando also weaved into the inside, but he ended up stuck behind Carlos and Max. And then Sainz ran really wide across the grass, but immediately gave the place back to Max since he gained the place off track. Then there was that big turn one incident involving Yuki and Albon, who both unfortunately had to retire. Yuki was to the far left by the grass and tried to overtake Albon to his right, but it was a 3 wide situation with Pierre on the inside. So really kind of a classic racing incident where Yuki tried to make the overtake, but Albon was squeezed, had nowhere to go. Again, big impact for Yuki. Glad he's okay. He was so disappointed with the fact that the mechanics had worked so hard to repair the car overnight, only for it to immediately get wrecked again. So sad. Meanwhile, Checo got a 5-second penalty for being lined up ahead of his grid box at the start, continuing just a tragic weekend. It didn't even look close. It looked like from all angles, like he was way over the line.
They were just like, this is so bad. He's miles ahead of his starting box. This is just terrible. So yeah, insult to injury for Checo. So once we had the safety car restart, that didn't start till lap 7. It was very long. There was a lot of debris to clean up. And Yuki was already being interviewed in the media pen while the safety car was still going on. So if that's any context there. So on the restart, Sainz hung on within DRS range until DRS was enabled and then had an amazing overtake with a super late lunge on the inside of Max at turn 2. Really great driving from Sainz. Didn't feel like there was much Max could do, and he got on the radio really upset that he had an empty battery. I think he definitely used a curse word or two in there. He was extremely frustrated. So Sainz pulled ahead, and then Max and Lando had a big battle with Lando absolutely sending it on the outside of Max. They looked equal, neck and neck at the apex. Both ran off the road, and then Max sent it back, ran Lando off the track at turn 4 when he was absolutely not going to make that corner. Lando said, quote, this guy is dangerous. And that's when I texted the group chat to Sarah and Tiggy being like, their relationship is not going to survive the end of this season. So for that, Max got a 10-second time penalty to serve at his first pit stop. And this is just like Austin. It allowed Leclerc to just come up past the two of them while they were kind of tiffing it out. And he blasted up to P2.
Max got another 10-second penalty for leaving the track and gaining an advantage at turn 8. So a 20-second penalty to serve at the pit stop. He called it silly. So you mentioned this about their relationship not being able to survive. What do you think? Do you think they're still good friends, or it's just too difficult at this point?
I mean, like, it's so easy to say certain things on the outside looking in. Like, none of us, right, I don't think have ever been in a situation in our lives where we're such high athletic competitors or just like huge competitors with someone, but also being friends. So maybe they are actually like really good at compartmentalizing, and like that would be the healthy, really amazing thing to do. But we're only human and these men are quite young. Like, I think they're probably going to put racing first and see what happens. And then maybe in like 40 years, they'll be like sitting on a patio in Monaco being like, oh, remember those days. Who knows?
So true. I think also I've noticed Max seems to be so much more measured in his comments about the Lando battles than he is about other drivers or other situations. He doesn't really comment on it much at all. Even after this, he kind of said, oh, obviously the stewards make a decision. Don't need to comment on it further. After Austria, he was super measured when Lando was getting really upset versus I feel like the comments from Lando are a bit more personal. Obviously, the quote, this guy is dangerous, was in the heat of the moment. And Lando doesn't go wild on the insults after the race, but he definitely, he very much said, this is not how people are supposed to be driving. Most people would agree with me. Very critical kind of Max's approach to driving and racing generally. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe the offseason will be a good chance to just play paddle or padel and forget about racing.
Yeah. The last thing I will say about that is it kind of does feel like maybe Lando has a lot more to lose than Max, who already has several world championships under his belt. And so maybe that's why. Getting back into the race. So it quickly became a battle between Leclerc and Sainz for P1, which made me feel super vindicated because that was my hot take for Austin. So at least it was happening the week after. And Sainz was complaining on the radio and Leclerc was kind of being told to keep it clean. And then thankfully, to avoid massive team orders, somehow Sainz managed to pull out a big gap of nearly 7 seconds, which is incredible. And then low-key, and this is kind of how the race ended, the Haases were top 10 throughout all of this. They were just capitalizing on all of the drama that was going on.
And then about 10 laps to go, we had another big moment where at this point, Lando had really fought his way back up to P3 and was challenging Charles. Charles was defending really hard and at turn 17 had a huge wobble at high speed. It was amazing car control that he was able to not crash. He had to maneuver through the dirt. He really hung on, and that allowed Lando to get through for P2. There was also that huge battle between the Mercedes at this point. It had looked for most of the race like George had better race pace. He was able to pass Lewis pretty easily early on in the race. He was able to then fend Lewis off lap after lap, but Lewis finally got through with about 5 laps left. So truly the wheel-to-wheel action in this race was kind of unparalleled. It was such an exciting race.
Such a treat. It was amazing. Okay, and our radio of the week I loved was Carlos saying, "Forza Ferrari, gracias Mexico," which is just so amazing and so ironic because, like, not Forza Ferrari, like, you're literally leaving this team. They wanted nothing to do with you, but hats off to him. It was an iconic moment.
Also, the podium with him getting raised up on the car was the best podium appearance ever.
Spark something uncommon this holiday season with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and with Uncommon Goods, it's way less stressful. They have incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. They're really unique. They scour the globe for original, handmade, and absolutely remarkable items, and somehow they know exactly the perfect gift, and you can always find something for every single person you know. One of our absolute favorites is this book that basically pulls the cover of the New York Times from every year since you were born, so it's so cool. It's like a snapshot of your life. And basically, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses, making sure that you're really getting something special, and all the products are handcrafted and made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Get 15% off your next gift going to uncommongoods.com/paddockproject. That's uncommongoods.com/paddockproject for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply. Women's health is really, really important to us, and we think that balanced hormones really play a key role in that. One thing that we've been loving is the supplement Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth, and that's a company that's committed to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, science-backed herbal extracts that help the body adapt to stressors like hormone changes that can happen naturally throughout a woman's life. We love it because it helps us maintain optimal hormone levels and supports our mood and general well-being, especially in our crazy day-to-day times. There is a reason that Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1AreTheGirls for 15% off today. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, jumping into teams. Okay, so for McLaren, solid P2 finish for Lando. He had a tough start, But I think the ensuing drama and Max's penalties kind of helped him capitalize to get that P2 finish, which was great for him. On the other hand, it was tough for Oscar having started way back in the back, but he had a big battle with Colapinto. He was just really, really sending it and doing a really good job. He had some spicy radios about pit strategy, which was very unlike him, but I think he was very dialed in. And in the end, he had an amazing P17 to P8 drive. So very happy for him.
It's becoming so crucial with the constructors' battle now. Something like a Q1 exit for one driver has massive ramifications. We're seeing that with the discrepancy between Max and Checo of Red Bull could be P3 in constructors with a world driver's champion because of how much you really need that second teammate to be up there as well for that constructors' battle. Colapinto also, I think, did end up getting a penalty for causing a collision on that one. So the stewards were active today. For Red Bull, we've talked about this a lot already. Yes. Just it's hard to imagine how this weekend could have gone worse. We also had a really symbolic Lawson-Checo fight at turn four. Turn four was really a hot zone. The whole race, Checo could not get past Lawson and then got upset on the radio and called Lawson an idiot. Lawson was also upset. Checo had damage to his side pod, which really, I think, impacted him the rest of the race and was part of why he was not able to make up any ground. He then pitted at the end to try to beat Charles for fastest lap, but Charles still got it. It was absolutely brutal out there. And also, I don't know how Lawson has managed to kind of get into a tiff with two veteran drivers his first two weekends, but glad he's holding his own.
I'm curious to see how this all goes. And I also wonder how much of it might just be kind of like an under the radar media spectacle that's getting blown out of proportion. But I'm here for it. You know, I love to see these young folk battling with the veterans. For Ferrari, so like we just said, Leclerc ended up pitting for fastest lap and got that. Sainz was really open in the press conference about how difficult and disappointing it is for him to be in such good form, kind of like what Sarah was saying, but knowing that you're not going to be on the team next year. He got pole by 0.2, and you know, knowing that the team that he's leaving could be in the title fight next year is very, very disappointing. And he also added that he has felt like he has contributed a lot to the team's growth and success in the past several years. And now that it's finally coming to fruition for him, it's an incredibly tough pill to swallow, I could only imagine. But overall, I think the team looked really strong. My question to you, Sarah, is do we think we have another battle for constructors on our hands? Do we think Ferrari is going to surpass McLaren? They've been on pretty good form lately.
It's definitely possible. We have Ferrari with 537 and McLaren with 566. So only about 30 points. And like we've been saying, if you have one driver out in Q1, you have one DNF, this can have huge impacts. We do still have several races left. I think it's unlikely at this point with how well McLaren's been performing that Ferrari could overtake them. Also, given that it's Ferrari, you have to kind of wonder if they'll be able to hold this form the entire rest of the season, this kind of very error-free form, besides maybe Charles's wobble in the last couple laps. But I think McLaren probably has it, but it's just thrilling and so good for the sport that now there's a three-way battle for constructors. And it's incredible that Red Bull is in P3. For Mercedes, it was not a terrible weekend for the team. P4 and P5 for Lewis and George. We did love seeing that teammate wheel-to-wheel action like we were saying. The car had some pace, but just could not keep up with the Ferrari. For Aston Martin, it was amazing to see a lot of fanfare for Alonso reaching his 400th Grand Prix this weekend, but he had to retire, which is such a bummer. He was also ill earlier on the weekend and had to miss press day on Thursday. So a bit of a tough weekend, but it was really great to see him getting all the recognition that he deserves for such an amazing achievement.
400 races is absolutely insane. Like, he must just, at each race start, I wonder if he even gets nervous anymore. It's wild. For VCarb, okay, so Yuki was out on lap one, like we said, absolutely tragic, especially since he was doing so well in the early practice sessions. For Liam, I feel like we kind of already talked about him, but he was in the fight for points. He got through that battle with Checo without damage, but then he only had a few laps left before contact with Colapinto, had to pit for a front wing change. Overall, interesting weekend for him, given the relationships or lack thereof that he was forming with some of the other drivers like Checo. Alpine brought upgrades to Austin that were paying off, and they are continuing to pay off this weekend in Mexico. We had points for Gasly in P10, which was exciting.
for Haas. We had a double points haul for Haas with K-Mag in seventh, which is his best result since Bahrain in 2022. It's amazing to see them back in good form, really fighting at the top of the midfield. So absolutely love to see it.
For Williams, despite missing out on points and having that 10-second time penalty, I think Cole Pinto's P12 finish was pretty admirable, and then tough for the DNF with Albon. And then to close it out with Stake, another tough weekend for them, P14 and P15 finish.
It was also sad because it looked like points maybe could be in the cards for Bottas for a brief, fleeting moment. Yeah. And that was difficult. For standings, for drivers, we have Max with 362, Lando with 315, Leclerc with 291, Piastri with 251, and Sainz with 240. And then for constructors, we have McLaren with 566, Ferrari with 537, Red Bull with 512. So 50 points behind in constructors. Insane. Now for Red Bull. Mercedes with 366. There's a huge drop off there. And then Aston Martin with 86 and Haas with 46. So Haas is in P6. Go Haas.
I love Haas. I freaking love that team. I've always loved that team. When people start asking what my favorite team is going to be, I'm just going to start saying that. Truly.
You really have truly always been a Haas fan. I think you need to make it official.
I just have some sort of intrinsic affinity. I don't know what's going on. Anyways, I can't wait to see these battles continue to spice up, and the drivers are getting very close as well. I think Max might be running away with this one. He might, I don't want to say he has it in the bag because, you know, never know what's going to happen, but it's been crazy enough that I could see Lando and Leclerc really start to battle it out for P2 in drivers. To wrap up this episode, we're going to give you all a quick Brazil preview. It's going to be amazing. It's otherwise known as the Sao Paulo GP. It's another sprint, and it's the last leg of this crazy triple header. And after that, only a handful of races left, which is absolutely wild.
They really pack it in at the end of the season here. A triple header with two sprints is massive. For the circuit, some people describe it as kind of a carnival atmosphere. So rain or shine, people will be having the time of their lives. And Brazil has a really storied F1 history. Not only the incredible drivers, so Ayrton Senna, Nelson Piquet, Felipe Massa, Rubens Barrichello, but also huge victories and racing moments here as well.
So the race is going to be at the Autódromo José Carlos Pace, or better known as Interlagos, because that's a long name. Interlagos is 71 laps, 4.3 kilometers with two DRS zones. Amazingly, Bottas still holds the lap record from 2018. We love to see that. And fun fact about the track, it's called Interlagos because it's in the Interlagos neighborhood, which sits between two artificial lakes. Lago means lake. And the lakes were built in the early 20th century to supply water and electricity for the city. The race has been around since the 90s, and it's been a mainstay. And yeah, this weekend will be a sprint, so lots to look out for.
In terms of what happened in last year's race, it was a dramatic weekend. We had a sprint last year as well. Lando took his first ever sprint pole, and we saw incredible wheel-to-wheel racing throughout the race. We had P1 for Max, P2 for Lando, and P3 for Checo. Quali was also extremely eventful last year. There was very unusual weather. I remember this. It was wild to watch. There was heavy mist and strong winds, so it almost had the atmosphere of a night race and caused a lot of chaos. There was a red flag in Q3, which caused several drivers like Checo and Piastri to get really unlucky with timing and unable to set lap times.
For the race itself, it was crazy. It was definitely one of our favorite races last year, and I think that was the race where in the recap, we're like, oh my God, we're so lucky. The race was so amazing. But Charles crashed out in the formation lap. And then the first lap itself saw huge incidents between a lot of drivers, but including Albon and K-Mag. And then we had a big red flag for that. We had a thrilling fight for P3 with Alonso holding off Checo in an insanely close finish, separated by just 0.053 seconds, like literally crossing the finish line. Overall, though, Max did have a dominant win. Lando secured P2. And then the Aston Martins looked really great with Alonso in P3 and Stroll in P5. And on the other side of things, this was kind of like the tale of two cities with Max running away with it and the Mercedes looking quite terrible. Toto called it their worst race in 13 years. Lewis got a P8 and George got a P15. It was kind of giving Red Bull at Mexico City.
Very, very similar. So thanks, everyone, for listening. We will catch you all next weekend for a Brazil Grand Prix recap.